And it goes back to the beginning of January 1975. There was a workers' cafe in Mayagüez, Puerto Rico, which is sort of a hotbed of leftist activity at that time. A bomb went off in a cafe in Mayagüez, killed three people, including one 11-year-old child. The independence advocates, those people who advocated for the independence of Puerto Rico, always accused the CIA or other right-wing elements of being behind that bombing. Nobody was ever caught. Nobody ever brought to trial. But what happened next, on January 24th, 1975, in the historic Francis Tavern in downtown Manhattan, where George Washington slept, the FALN, Fuerzas Armadas Liberación Nacional, the Puerto Rican Independence Organization, set off a bomb in Francis Tavern. They claimed full credit for it. They claimed they were targeting reactionary corporate executives, was their position. Unfortunately, like so many acts of terrorism, you don't get the people that you were targeting. Instead, you get totally innocent people. One of those innocent people was a young guy, 33 years old, named Frank Connor, son of Irish immigrants, worked his way up. And he left behind a son by the name of Joe Connor, who is with us now to talk about his dad, the bombing, and where we go from here. Hey there, Joe. Good to talk to you again.
Hey, Ron. How are you? Hey, Curtis. How are you?
Very well. Joe, it's a long time ago, but yeah. I guess when you suffered such a tragic loss, that memory just never, never, never leaves you.
Well, yeah, it never leaves you. I was 9 years old. My brother was 11, and we were going to celebrate our birthdays that night. I was born on the 20th, and my brother was the 13th. And my father went to work like he did every day and never came home that day. And it's an impossible thing to accept that people felt they had the right to place a bomb where he was having lunch and kill him and somehow be justified for it. So, you know, over the years, you know, we grew up as a family. My mom remarried to a great man. She's terrific now. She's 75 years old and amazing. My father's mother, my father's an only child, and his mother was terrific with us. And both my brother and I have done well in our lives. We now have families and that, but we never forget my father and the brutal and tragic and immoral way he was taken from us.
And indeed, no one was ever convicted of the Francis Tavern bombing. The independence advocates at that time took a position of non-cooperation with the grand jury. A lot of them went to jail rather than testify. Back, fast forward to the de Blasio administration. Our new city council speaker, Ms. Viverito, in fact, wrote a letter asking for clemency for the last remaining surviving independentista, a man by the name of Oscar Lopez Rivera.
Yep.
Now, Oscar Lopez Rivera was offered clemency along with all the other
FALN members.
Yes, and he turned it down back. Clinton said, you can have clemency. He turned it down for two reasons. One, he was not willing to renounce armed struggle. And number two, he wouldn't leave until another independentista, Carlos Alberto Torres
was released. And we only found that second part out when we went to the federal prison in Terre Haute and faced him at his parole hearing in 2011.
So Oscar Lopez Rivera, who was never convicted of a Francis Tavern, but clearly held a leadership position in the organization that carried out the bombing, he's been in prison for 32 years.
Yeah. Look,
why not let him out?
Okay. A couple of things is, he was never convicted. No one was ever convicted of Francis. And the reason was because they were put away for 60, 70, up to 90 years in Chicago. And the economics of law enforcement didn't call for them to be brought back to New York to face similar charges. So they were put away essentially for life. The judge at trial said to some of the FALN he would have imposed a death penalty if he could. You know, Oscar Lopez was a member of this conspiracy, and as a member of a conspiracy, you're responsible for the acts of the conspiracy. So whether he was a lone person who did it or whether he was part of a group who claimed the responsibility, and you can read the communiques, they did, he was part of it. Now, why shouldn't he get out? Well, we went out to Terre Haute in 2011 and faced him across the table. And I was with my brother, I was with a woman whose husband was killed, I was with a man who was sitting next to my father, who will probably die of the wounds one day. And we were all prepared, I think, to forgive him. And he came in, and all he did was lie. I mean, it was really pathetic. He was caught with weapons in his apartment, and all he could say is, I don't know how they got there. He said he was in Vietnam where he won a Bronze Star. He said he shot thousands and thousands of rounds, but he never hurt anybody. He said he saw the, he claimed he saw American soldiers damaging Vietnamese in terrible ways. So what did he do? He came back here and did the same thing. We were
well, that doesn't make him a liar. That actually sounds sort of right to me. That happened to a lot of people.
Well,
they saw American brutality in Vietnam, and they became radicalized and committed terrible acts here.
Well, it doesn't make him a liar, but it does make him. It does show that he did what he was condemning, which pretty much makes you maybe not a liar, but a hypocrite. And the other part is he. You know, he never, we tried, Ron. I mean, we sat there and we waited for him to say, look, guys, I was a bad guy in my youth. He wouldn't do it.
That's right. And let me pose it like this. You know, and I recognize I'm on thin ground here, but you and I have known each other for a long time, and I've at least respected your positions on things, and I think sometimes you respected me. ask for the best.
Well, we'll see what you're going to say.
Yeah. And that's this. As you pointed out in your article, your op-ed piece in the New York Post, in which you attacked Viverito, there was an ongoing state of armed conflict between Puerto Rican independence advocates and the American government throughout much of the 1970s into the 1980s.
Right.
A lot of innocent people got hurt on both sides, really.
Yeah.
The war is over now. We hail Nelson Mandela as a hero because he had Truth and Reconciliation commissions. Nobody ended up getting punished. We talk about forgiveness. We talk about moving on. Why not do that here outside of the fact that, you know, he murdered your father in one sense or another, and that makes you angry, but in terms of a larger picture.
Well, I mean, first of all, to characterize it as a war, I think, is a total mischaracterization. The independence movement in Puerto Rico garnered about 3% of the vote during those times. Now 61% want statehood. So he was fighting a war under whose authority?
Yeah, Joe, you can also say that about so many parts of the Irish resistance.
Well, look,
for
I got
centuries,
nothing. Don't talk to me about the IRA. They were just complete scumbags, and they all deserve to be in prison. So I am not, no advocate of the IRA. I'm saying that this guy and his group, they appointed themselves the judge, jury, and executioner of my father. You know, they made the claim that they were retaliating against a bomb in Puerto Rico. Mm-hmm. But there was no one convicted of that.
No.
However, they went out of their way to condemn Americans for it and then to execute Americans for it. So, you know, they have no standing to get this guy out. If he had come out, Ron, if he accepted the clemency, this would be no issue today. But he turned it down.
Right, which is sort of amazing. I mean, because you'd expect the average terrorist to say, wait a second, all I got to do is say I won't do this again and I get out. Fine.
Ron, you nailed it. He's not the average terrorist. He's not. He was a leader. And he was so convicted to that cause. And I've talked to the prosecutors on this. These guys were fanatical. And they thought that they were going to take over Puerto Rico. I mean, at the end of the day, they talked about liberating the Puerto Rican people. They were going to subjugate the Puerto Rican people. If you read what they wrote, all they wanted was a socialist state and a communist state. You can read their communiques where they talk about development of a Leninist Marxist.
Joe, believe me, I've read them. Trust me. Okay. You know, who are you talking to?
Yeah, I know. But right. Ron, some of the people who are listening here who read these petitions, and if you read the petition that she sent around, it doesn't even mention that he turned down clemency. It doesn't mention that he was convicted of being part of a conspiracy that blew up 28 bombs in Chicago. It leaves all that out. So most of the people who are fighting for his release, they don't know the facts. And that's why I'm on here today.
Well, you know what?
People need to understand who these people were. And they're, you know what? They maybe stopped bombing, but their connections are still there.
Joe, you have made your case, and Ron Kuby has stood and offered a defense. Now we go to the jury of Curtis and Kuby listening.